You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hey, Chris, what are you drinking there?
Oh, you never seen one of these before?
No, what is that?
Oh, man, this is a brewery in Austin, Circle Brewing. They're right near my house, right up on Breaker Road. They got their own brewery with a bunch of stuff. This is actually, you're gonna think I'm lying. This is, I think, the best American Hefeweizen I've ever had, Circle
Get
Brewer.
Out.
It's made in America. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's high praise coming from you.
We'll take a sip of this thing. Try that.
All right, let me see.
No. That wasn't the Hefeweizen. That was the IPA.
Yeah, no, that was the fantastic.
The Ladybird. Yeah, that's good, too. Man, they make a lot of good beers. And like I said, you can come visit them at their tap room right down the street here from me on Breaker Lane. It's delicious stuff, and they actually became the sponsor for the website, oneofus.net.
Wow, good guys, and they live right down the street from here?
They certainly do, and you can even get their beer in convenience stores now.
Ah, convenience store. I'm going to just walk over to Circle.
Previously on the final days of Gotham.
Everyone stand and rise to the trial between everyone else on the podcast against Alan.
Mm-hmm. Well, just like the fucking trial, this episode will be just as much bullshit there.
You know, he's guilty. He's obviously guilty. Let's guilt the guillotine.
Penguin is going to be James Gordon's best man when they renew the vows.
But during the best man speech, he will betray him.
Jeez. That's right. Name your kid after me.
Yeah, that's going to be a weird explanation. So, what was it like being married to Mama? There's that one time for about 4 years, when she became a psychopathic murderer and tried to kill another woman I loved.
But then she got better, right?
Sure.
I just got weirder.
Echo's going to go find Poison Ivy and give him that blood. It'll unlock his darkest parts.
Oh my gosh, if that's actually the way they bring back Ivy.
Oh my god, it's pretty bad.
Okay, so Nick and Travis, I decided to do something unique today. I put a microchip into Alan's brain, and when I press this button, he'll immediately start liking Gotham. So, let's get ready.
Let me electrocute myself then to fix this.
Just so we all know, that level of technology does not exist.
No. It's Gotham. Every level of technology exists.
Yeah, he means in real life.
Gotham is real life.
Sure.
Now, if you were to tell me he ate a miracle seed and now likes Gotham, that I would buy.
Yeah, it would take drugs for me to like Gotham.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, so this is the new episode of Gotham, and I cannot wait to talk about this gonzo crazy freaking episode.
Oh my God.
So the person
you can't wait for every episode.
Yeah, really.
But this one I can't.
One.
Well,
can we talk about Justin's problem with the spoilers? Like, every time he's always on the Facebook Messenger, and it's like, after every Thursday night, he's like, guys, who's watched this episode? No one, Justin, it came out 3 minutes ago. How did you watch it already?
And like, no, it came out 2 hours after that point. So
man,
I'm just
watch Gotham till Friday afternoon before
okay,
we record this.
Fine. I'm
just saying we're boiling through another Game of Thrones spoiler thing that we had we ran up against.
That's right.
I didn't. Did I actually say anything about the plot? No. I just wanted to say, hey.
No, you just do what
on?
You always do. It started out, oh man, you guys are going to love this part. This part's going to be great. I can't wait to see who dies in this part. Like, we can figure it out through how you're saying it.
It would be more surprising if Justin was on and was like, yeah, I don't know if I have much to say about this episode. I would get real nervous. I'd be like, oh man, what happened?
Well, then again, you're now watching Gotham then.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
That happened last week. We kind of ran out of shit to say.
Yeah. Well. Okay, fine. I'll stop messaging you guys. Jeez. Okay. But this episode here is Pena Dura, which is directed by Mark Tondorai. Now, this is interesting because the guy who directed this, he's mostly doing TV directing now with shows like Lucifer and Gotham. And he also directed episodes of Night Flyers, that new TV show that came out from the George R. R. Martin stories. But his one film credit that's on here is that terrible Jennifer Lawrence movie, The House at the End of the Street.
Mm. Oh, you could have just stopped the terrible Jennifer Lawrence movie and you probably would have guessed it.
Hey, Jennifer Lawrence is a fine actress. She just doesn't want to play Mystique anymore.
She's a fine actress. She just doesn't want to act.
Yep.
Yeah, no, but no, not Last House on the Left, the House on the End of the Street, the other terrible horror film. But anyway.
Which house are we talking about?
The one at the end of the
Amityville.
Street, obviously.
On Elm Street?
House in the middle of our street. Not that. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, so this
I live
is
in a condo. Relate to me, horror movie.
Anyway, so this movie here, this show. don't know where I am right
now. So we're reviewing The Last House on the Left or The End of the Street, whatever the fuck that movie is.
Justin, let me help you out. We haven't started reviewing the episode yet.
No, we have
made
not.
No progress.
Just like the show.
We're right on. So this episode is interesting. So you know what? I feel like we just want to get the Bruce and Selena stuff out of the way.
I mean, we could just ignore it entirely, to be honest.
Just like the show is. Yeah. Because, really, I get that. I guess the idea here is they wanted a flip on the whole thing with Bruce last season, where they're like, oh, see, now Selena is the emotionless one. See? She's trying to pretend like the murder doesn't affect her, but it really doesn't, kind of thing.
Wow, a great twist. Selena's the emotionless one. And she's just going to be doing the same shit she normally does. There's no difference. Except she's a little colder.
That and just it didn't work for Bruce. It was boring with Bruce. Why would it be better with a different character?
Yeah. Well, it also it makes Bruce kind of like he's just looking for her all over Haven. He's arguing with Alfred about her. Like, it makes him look like such a desperate fucking
ex-boyfriend. Needy. Yeah.
Like, it's like, I know who you are. I know you better than you know yourself. And it kind of comes off as condescending. Mm. Like, yeah. I know what's good for you, no one else does. And I'm like, shut up, Bruce.
It's just funny, because with this in the last episode, it feels like they don't really know what to do with some of the cast. Like, they really don't know what to do with Bruce anymore, because, like, the last episode, he basically was just handcuffed to it and then got unhandcuffed. And this episode, he just kind of chills with Selena, has a really good conversation with Harvey, and that's it. Like, they really don't know what to do with
the rest of the plot is kind of all starting to interconnect with the Enigma stuff, the army stuff. Yeah. Like, all that stuff is starting to finally connect with itself. Mm-hmm. But Bruce and Selena are still off in their own thing. Like, they don't know how to make that connect with the actual show.
And there's not enough other characters for them to interact with to make it interesting.
Yeah, it's really just them off by themselves doing, like, yeah, it's like him talking with Harvey was like, yeah, when was the last time he did talk with Harvey on this
show? That's
what
I was thinking. I don't think he's ever actually had a conversation with Harvey.
Probably random conversations, but this is the most, like, meaningful, because it's basically explaining, it's like, well, why do cops keep doing their jobs, and why is Bruce eventually going to do his job dealing with all this dark stuff? I'm like, that's a really good conversation, because it's establishing why Batman, Bruce Wayne, why he does his thing. The whole thing of, like, yeah, it sucks, and you gotta deal with a lot of bullshit, but the little things are what keep you going, even if no one cares.
I'm like, that's a great
thing. It was really nice.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it was a really nice little thing. Also, at the end of it, we get to see Bruce Batman out for the first time, which is, like, really fun.
I love Harvey's reaction, which is like, kid's fast.
Kid's fast.
Yeah,
It's kind of annoying, though. I was, like, talking to myself. I hope that doesn't happen a lot.
I bet that won't happen next time. No, I literally started clapping when that happened. I'm like, he did it! He did the thing!
Yeah, no, that was actually probably one of the better parts of the episode, I felt. Where, like, it at least, for how much it was just so useless to the story, it at least, like, gave a good scene for Bruce to have with another actor. Because, honestly, the scene where they tried to make Selena emote, it was like, oof, you know?
They realized she can't emote it. That,
I don't know if I forgot this, or it just, like, it was never brought up in the show before, but I didn't know that Bruce didn't know that Selena was there that night when his parents got shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, she never told him, yeah, so.
I kind of thought that was revealed at some point. And I was like, oh, really? That's never been... She's never told him that before. He never found out. Mm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So. I don't think that's possible. Because Gordon knew that Selena was there, and Gordon spent the first season essentially finding the parents. How that conversation never happened?
Well, I also like that he doesn't do the standard of, like, you know, to wedge them further apart. He doesn't go, you didn't do anything or something.
Right.
And it was like, he goes back like, it wasn't your fault. You just didn't do anything. You were a kid. And, like, she's like, no, I didn't do anything because I didn't care. And it's like, you were both her and Bruce were small children at that time. And they just didn't have a lot of agency in that event.
The only thing Bruce could do better would be like, question like, why were you there? You were so young. What the fuck were you doing in an alleyway?
Like, what were you doing in a random alleyway?
She was just chilling.
I don't know. Yeah.
Plot advice.
Yeah, and like, no, that's who I am, Bruce. And it's like, eh, I don't like. I think she was actually being kind of hard on herself. Like sometimes people get into an emergency situation and they just kind of freeze up and they, you know, they self-preserve, and that's not anything to be ashamed of.
Now, like, remember, the plant brought out her evil dark side.
Yeah,
right.
I ain't letting you forget that.
No one wants to. Well, no, everyone wants to forget it. No one.
Everyone wants to, but I'm not letting them.
Yeah. No, but that does lead to the other big reveal at the very end of the episode that all of her moping was apparently for naught because Joker's still alive somehow.
Yes.
I mean, and somehow this show nobody dies unless they get blown up.
It was because that's the thing. They even mentioned they're like, "Oh, it's a good thing you're wearing your armor." It's like, what?
No, they even said that like you should have worn the armor I told you to wear. Mm-hmm. So they make up a reason and don't use it.
No, they actively go against using it.
Yeah, it's like no, she had to stick the knife in my flesh in order to convince her, and then they just go like, ah, so they could think I was dead, and they were like, wait.
How are you not dead?
One, you planned on getting stabbed because I didn't know like you knew exactly how she was going to kill you. If anything, she would have shot him because that's how she killed like him. Like that would be what your assumption was, mm-hmm. right? And then not only that, but he got stabbed many, many times.
Multiple, yep.
At least three. And then they just kind of go, yeah, and they stitched him up. Okay.
I mean, we knew he wasn't going to be dead, but. Wow.
Like, yeah. we were all wondering what, like, Lazarus pit or magic thing are they going to bring up to resurrect him from the dead, and it's like...
Nothing.
Nope.
Nothing.
He just didn't die.
No, the most
not
power...
Not only that, he just gets back up and is like, ugh, man, I got stabbed 7 times. He treats it like a stomach ache. It's like, ugh.
Look, he got brought back to right the ultimate magic. Plot writing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Plot armor is a powerful thing.
The most powerful weapon in Gotham.
And they're digging that tunnel, which they finally get to. What is it? Like a tomb?
It looked. Okay. Oh, so it was inside. It was downstairs. I mean, down into like the tomb thing. And then it looked like they're at Bruce's house.
I was thinking. They're at the Bat Mansion right now. I don't fucking know why, and I also don't know why there were people there.
Well, I know why.
Okay, I think I know why too, because there's the whole thing where they're digging through the tunnel, and then they find these two people who have like surgical bandages on their faces, and he's like, "Oh, yep. Are we ready for a family reunion?" And Travis, do you want to tell what you think it is?
Ooh,
oh, that he stitched Bruce's parents' faces on someone else's body.
That's fucking dark as shit. That's way. Oh man, if that's the case, holy goddamn shit, Gotham.
I
was trying to think, what's the darker version of either he found Bruce's parents' bodies and brought them back with a Lazarus pit or something, or he just got their faces and stitched mm-hmm. them onto somebody else. And I'm like, that sounds more Gotham to me.
Yeah.
Like,
or,
it does sound
more.
You
know what the most Gotham
weird.
Thing is? It's nothing we're thinking of, and it's something completely unrelated.
Yes, Bruce, I brought back your uncle and your second cousin twice removed.
Damn it, Jamie.
That would be interesting.
That would be Gotham.
It's Alan Tudyk from the one show, like one TV show that they totally crashed and burned.
Oh, that Powerless show, whatever? Yeah.
Yeah, Powerless or whatever.
Oh, did that crash and burn? Damn it.
Oh, that got canceled like after like 5 episodes. So
I thought they had a second season.
Nope. But no. So that was all there was really to the Bruce storyline. It was just freaking useless. It really had served no purpose other than to set up for something more interesting, supposedly next episode. I know. Who knows at this point? Because all the attention now is pretty much only on the Gordon storyline, which is incorporating everybody else now. Which, admittedly. Is making that storyline a lot better because
better. This was fucking awesome.
Yeah, like, well, because actually, there's a lot of momentum to this plot. Like, it feels like they never rest when it comes to the Gordon storyline.
Are we going to agree on this fucking episode?
Well, because I'm mad too. Because it starts off with the Riddler doing his Riddler stuff. I'm like groaning audibly, but then there's this like the Riddler's the crux of this entire episode, mm-hmm. but it works. He's trying to figure this stuff out, and he finally gets where he's going from. Where he starts off is like, oh shit, did I blow all these fucking people up? Let me just, you know, because what happens? Don't the cops immediately show up?
Well, no, because what happened was, the very beginning was that random arms dealer where they go to meet him, who's apparently watching gangster films on an old school film projector for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, one, because I'm like, why is he doing that? And then I realize, oh yeah, I don't know if if DVDs or even VHS tapes are a thing in this universe.
But they have cell phones.
VHS technology exists.
But they have a fucking projector.
Yeah. No, so they have
projectors, ham radios, and cell phones.
Figure that out.
So they find that guy.
But also somehow Hot Pockets. I don't like, what is happening? Like...
Trying to figure out what time period Gotham is set in is a whole different podcast we don't have time for.
Yeah, really?
You could drive yourself insane trying to figure it out.
It changes per episode.
But yeah, so they meet him, they find out that Riddler actually did purchase the RPGs because his name was on the ledger, which I'm assuming was a thing where his other, fake alter ego wants him to get caught kind of
thing.
Well,
I'm glad that worked out, because how originally the episode starts off is Gordon just doing his fucking thing, then Deus Ex Machina army just shows the fuck up, murders his informant, and Jim doesn't seem to give a shit.
Well, the guy wasn't really his informant, per se. It was just the guy they were trying to shake down. So.
Well, luckily he kept a ledgered note of people just buying arms deal that had no aliases or codes in it whatsoever. Just, Riddler, I have him down for 2 RPGs right here.
I literally don't talk about that, too. It's like, we know he used one. Where the fuck's the other one?
Dude, arms dealer, I don't want to tell you how to do your thing,
remember,
but this is how you crime.
Answers that he shot the helicopter down. That's the assumption.
Yes, okay, yeah, right. Mm.
Right, so he at least had to have 2.
Yeah, so, the reveal is, after they kill all those guys, that Gordon meets the leader of the army division that's sent out there, and it's an old friend of his named Eduardo, who... they make it seem like we've known this character forever, even though it's like, we haven't seen
this
guy before.
They reveal his face like Eduardo, and I'm like, Travis, who the hell is this?
I don't know who that is.
Oh, I know who that actor is, because he was in Nikita, a great show.
Oh, yeah, no, Shane West, yeah.
Yep, that's him. I was like, hey, is that guy from Nikita? I'm glad he got some work.
No, and he's actually
a lot of
pretty
characters
good
in Gotham, and that some people have shown up for like one episode and gone away, but like, I really think this guy has not been in the show before.
No,
he's never been in the show. I would have known.
No. They treat him like, he's an old army buddy of Jim's. Just like, remember that when at the time I saved you back in Nam or whatever war?
This character that's really important
to
me that I never brought up.
This is the first time they brought back the old war buddy thing, and Harvey's kind of jealous.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, wow, that's actually like season one
stuff.
That's
really simple things.
That's really simple stuff that you figured they would have touched on beforehand.
Yeah, but Gotham doesn't have time for that.
Gotham isn't subtle. They do whatever the fuck they want whenever the fuck they want.
Yeah, but it is nice to see the military still exist in this world, too, because it's like that thing in season 3, you're like, there is the army somewhere out there,
it's kind of hard to remember Gotham exists so on its own universe that, whenever we get an outside look of whatever's outside of Gotham, it's kind of normal.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta figure that people just treat Gotham like it's this nexus of,
hell.
Yeah, it's like, just don't
so
go
Detroit.
There. It's just Detroit, or,
Chicago, or
the general state of Florida. Just stay away.
I have multiple headlines. Gotham Man did this. Gotham Man.
Gotham Man did this.
Actually, now that I think about
it. Guys, we're making a Twitter account. It's called Gotham Man Did This.
Dude, that would
with all
be
the stupid shit that happens in Gotham. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Crazy dude with gimp leg shoots RPG at, dude wielding a samurai sword or whatever.
Overly
Gotham
centric
man,
overly centric
Gotham
chef
man freezes himself,
children.
Wakes up with freeze powers.
Overly eccentric chef feeds fucking the rich actual people
while wearing a pig head.
Gotham man hypnotizes married couple. They get murdered by Belle.
Oh,
wrecking
Gotham
ball, whatever.
You're
it was
so crazy.
No, with a wrecking ball. That was gruesome.
That was awesome.
That was the nastiest kill of last season, which, it's funny because for the people who've been dying this show so far, there hasn't been really any grisly deaths this season, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Have there? Or
I do now imagine that it's just people in Metropolis just surfing their phones just looking for Gotham man hashtags.
You're here to hear first. Gotham is the Florida of the DC universe.
Yes, we need to do this. But anyway, so
I'm Bath Salt Man.
Oh yeah,
it was called Venom. You remember that in season 1?
No, it was that crazy dude in season 2, Zardos the Destroyer or whatever. That crazy dude they locked up in Arkham Asylum. That
Zardos
was Bath Salt
the Destroyer.
But so they are now initiate a manhunt against the Riddler because now they have hard proof that he did it. But Riddler asserts his innocence. He's like, look, I've been having these blackout episodes and I can't account for my actions, but I'm only just now becoming aware of them because, these convenient moments where he gets captured, then either gets hit in the head or he gets electrocuted or whatever.
Or both.
Yeah. So there's actually a pretty cool sequence where Jim and Shane West's character, Eduardo, go to Riddler's hideout to try and capture him. Yeah. He's like, look, hey, I can prove my innocence, but it's going to take some time. And they decide to let him go. But Riddler also isn't going to go quietly, so he activates a IED pressure plate.
They weren't going to let him go. They were still capturing him. They just weren't going to kill him.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Gordon's like, we bring him in, and then Riddler activates the pressure plate IED. And I love how Eduardo's like, your call, Jim, because this seems really elaborate, and I think he's bluffing, and then Jim's like, no, trust me, this is actually one of his more simple plots. Like, this is something he could easily happen.
We gotta solve a puzzle. Puzzle? Yeah, it's kind of his thing. Because I love that, because he's a normal person, and he has to... Jim has to explain this stupid bullshit, and you realize how nuts this show is, based on that one exchange.
Like, wait, so he has a watch that monitors his heart rate if it goes above or below a certain amount of time, and then, like, I'm like, wait a minute, we don't have VHS technology. How does this exist? Like, wait.
Welcome to Gotham.
And by the way, that like, watch is stupid.
Dude, like, it's a thing. Just trust me on this.
I love that. Yeah, I love
it. Just trust him on it. Like, you're okay. Your call, man.
I want to point out how ridiculous that watch is, because it's not that if his heart stops, it's that if it goes 10 beats above or below, don't relax under any circumstances, or don't randomly get excited over all death.
Yes, just an even heartbeat somehow. Just
like that's some crazy, overly elaborate bullshit, even for the Riddler.
Yeah, so Jim has to do this whole puzzle thing. We have to decide which of the books will deactivate the trigger for the IED, which that was kind of a, you know, interesting way to solve the problem with, you know, it's like,
oh. It brings up another one of my theories of sometimes I think they let children come up with ideas of Gotham.
Oh,
because
because
what does Gordon do in order to defeat Riddler? He has to play a game of the floor is lava.
Yep.
Him and his friend freeze, like, okay. Don't move. It's like, we're counting it sounds like a game made up by children. Like, okay, don't move. There's explosives on the floor, and they're only in the white tiles. But if we run, but if we jump on the table, I can get to the bookcase and then go a chess move to the left or to the right, and then trigger it, and then we're okay. Okay, now we're super spies, and then, you know, but instead you got hit by a thing, and you have superpower rays. Like, it's just... Like, I just love the storytelling in this of just, like, the writing room in here must have been just hilarious.
And again, Shane West's character is just like, okay, you gotta explain this to me, because this just isn't... like, he's just so baffled by how normal everyone treats this stuff around them. Just
well, because
like...
he's essentially... Shane West's character is the people that don't watch Gotham... us having to explain to them what Gotham is. We're used to this stupid bullshit. They are.
I love he's like, you left the army for this city, and Gordon's like, it grows on you, which I really wish he would have just gone like, army was boring.
Yep, army's too simple. This is way more complicated.
Yeah, I don't get kidnapped nearly as often. I used to get, the army doesn't kidnap you nearly as often as this show.
I thought I had PTSD from the army, and I was like, oh no, that was that was child's play compared to living here.
Let me ask you, Eduardo, have you ever faced a dude with a pig mask trying to kill you? No. Okay.
Have you ever seen a man blow Penguin up via RPG rocket singularly because he was immortal? Like,
yeah, the immortal guy.
Oh, man. But yeah, so that happens, and then Riddler, they initiate the manhunt for him, and then he gets kidnapped by this crazy redneck family.
Oh, no, he gets kidnapped by a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Because
that was some stupid bullshit out of
you
Jason
tell him,
5.
Mom.
Yeah. They tie him to a chair, and they have a busted car that they've hooked up with an electric current to circulate through the chair when they press the gas pedal. I'm just like, that is some elaborate stuff they're doing here.
That's both hilariously redneck and also too elaborate to be redneck.
I loved the actor playing the mother, because she was like, she went full ham and she did fantastic.
Ah, we got you strapped up to our redneck Rube Goldberg device.
Gotham, this metropolis of a city hit for somebody who's at Blackwater rednecks.
And I love even Riddler's like, so 300 people died in Haven and you're mad because your dog got caught in it?
I know, even he is fed up with Gotham's bullcrap.
Because again,
and I love how
weird...
he gets out of it too. Like, the electricity activates memories in his thing to where he remembers renders Penguin telling him, I'm going to fix you. But in two different ways. One time he says it, I'm going to fix you, Ed. And then the other one is, I'm going to fix you, Ed. Like, how does he remember two different line reads? Like,
well, electroshock therapy is not really reliable.
Also, he's breaking the fourth wall of just like, no, that wasn't a good take. Try it again. Yeah, try it again. Oh, okay, now we're good.
I just imagine also, Penguin was over his body just like, I can do this better. Wait, hold on.
Also, I love that the over-elaborate electrocutional chair like breaks down like, yeah, of course. it's way too janky of a system to be reliable.
They're crazy rednecks. I'm surprised they got it working in the first place.
And then Riddler has to, like, trick his way out of it, which feels like, overusing his brain of just like, oh, don't throw me in that briar patch.
Like, I'm kind of glad, because I was in my head, I'm like, you're pretty well tied up. I wonder how you're going to get you out of this. Oh, I'm just going to make up some stupid bullshit because these people are morons. I'm like, I'm glad that worked out. I'm like, that is the Riddler. He's going to talk his way out of the bullshit.
And he just walks off as the one guy's legs are on fire, and as the other guy's trying to help him, his arms catch on fire in the background. And we just don't see those guys again.
They're dumb.
Like, never coming back.
Oh, it was gloriously stupid, and I loved it. It was just... that was fun. So he escapes from that, and of course he's now hunting down Penguin, which... I love that bit I skipped over a little bit where when everyone's figuring out, oh, Enigma did it. You see Penguin, they cut back to him where he finds out the news. And he's just like, oh, Ed, what'd you do? And I'm just like, I can hear Nick just, you know, all the fan fiction between the tension between these two characters. Just like,
dude,
my
we're
poor
about to
Ed.
Come up on one of the gayest scenes in Gotham.
And oh, it was like, yes.
No, there's gay porn that's less gay.
Like, two dudes fucking is less gay than what's about to happen.
Yeah. Oh,
these guys were already in a relationship, so yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, Edward breaks into the city hall where the Penguin is and holds him at gunpoint because it's like, oh, yeah, I know that you programmed me. Also, did you name your dog after me?
That was amazing. We have a lot to talk about, but first.
Did you name your dog after me? Because even for us, that's weird, right? Dude.
Like, he never answered
the question.
I don't
know how to feel about that.
Yeah, so they have a tense conversation, and of course, this seems to be Penguin's defense for everything is just, if I was going to kill you, I would let you know, kind of thing. Or I'm just like, somewhere, someone's not going to believe that at some point.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Oh, he's not wrong, but that's literally his excuse for
you
everything.
You were the only friend I had left after Butch. You shot Butch, which is exactly. Why I needed you.
That entire conversation was great, because it's again, it's that whole thing, like, it, as much as this show falls the fuck apart, it knows how to set up for the future. When they have that conversation, it's like, hey, one day we're going to be at each other's throats. Like, yeah. Because all I could think of right there was like, I almost started loving the show for a minute because I'm like, yeah, I can imagine, you know, 10 years down the line, these two are just doing their crazy bullshit in Arkham City, the video game, because they've known each other for so long. I'm like, they manage to, every now and then, they manage to get these gems of incredible, like, exchanges between the villains, and I'm like, I can't, like, I almost want the show to never end.
Well, I mean, this really showcases Corey Michael Smith's acting. I think this is one of his better performances he's done the whole show so far.
They finally give Riddler someone to bounce off of again, which is, like,
And Penguin are always great together.
Yeah,
Riddler, Penguin in this episode, he bounces off with Gordon. He even like has a back and forth with like the new like redneck characters. That's fun. Like it realized like as a solo act, Riddler kind of doesn't really work. So we need people for him to like really bounce off of. And this whole like, I'm going to get really close to you, and then I'm going to bump my chest up against the gun and get really into your face, and like, you, because we're friends, Nigma, and if someone, if I were to kill you, or if I was going to be your enemy, you will know it. Like, oh yeah, Oswald, as I get closer to your face, and if you, as I stare kind of at your eye levels, but every once in a while my eye line drifts down to your lips, like, if I were to ever to kill you, I will stare directly in your eyes as I slide in the, and I was like, knife.
I am surprised that it didn't end with them kissing, because there was so much tension.
I could seriously hear the shippers across the universe going, kiss, kiss, kiss,
make out already.
That's not because we were shouting it, Nick.
Oh, that was me.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, you're right. That was like, realized that the sound was me screaming that.
Yeah, but that all falls apart later because then he leaves, and, you know, it's funny because the army's like literally on their doorstep to take away Penguin.
And what does Penguin do in Penguin fashion? Immediately betrays the Riddler.
That was awesome. So, he, like, after this, like, one of the best scenes ever between them two, what do they immediately do because they establish their friendship of how close they are?
They break each
other. They immediately don't trust each other. Like, it's like, stay here. You'll be safe. give them Riddler. They want his ass, not mine. He's already gone, sir. Damn it, I should have seen that coming.
They fucking so set it up great, because, like, the freaking Penguin turns around, and it's like, don't worry, you'll be safe, stay here. As soon as he turns around, Riddler just books it. He doesn't even wait.
No, like, Bruce can learn a lesson from him.
Cause... No, I love it, because they both know the score. Yep. Like, they both know what's about to happen. Like, they respect the hustle. Like,
it's because they're old.
See you
lovers.
Next week. See you next time.
This weird honor among thieves thing going on there. But yeah,
what
so.
Do you mean, honor? They constantly betray each other. They just kind of know that each other's going to do some bullshit. I might as well leave before
they get
caught.
It's not the fact that they will betray another one another, but they still just kind of like each other. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just.
It's the devil you know type thing. Like, he kind of knows Nigma's deal, and Nigma knows Penguin's deal, so they kind of know each other's stuff. Where it's like, when you're dealing with the other crazy villains, it's like, we don't know what the fuck they're going to do, but it's like, yeah, they're frenemies, basically.
Well, for this, basically, like, they stab each other, and it's like, ow, that hurt, yeah. See you next week? Yeah, same time.
Yeah, same time, buddy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just that, it's that Looney Tunes cartoon, where the coyote and the sheep, like, just clock in and out.
Yeah. Dude, literally. It's literally.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they just almost do everything but punch a time card and, like, yeah, see you next week, Frank. Like, just...
Yeah, so Penguin gets captured because Harvey and Shane West's character, Eduardo is his name, okay.
No, I'm not calling him Eduardo. I'm calling him Shane.
Well, he
does not look like an Eduardo. Eduardo.
His mama calls him Shane, I'm going to call him Shane.
We'll call him another name soon, of course. But yeah, so they capture Penguin after pretty much calling Penguin's bluff, just like, oh yeah, I'm going to count to three and you guys are all dead. It's like, okay, count. Yeah, no, don't do it. Do it. Let's see how far you get.
You know? As we stuck these snipers in somehow.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know where the snipers came from. It doesn't seem there's really
nowhere.
Yeah,
those guys' heads just exploded because they have the red dot, but when it guts back, there's no snipers. So
at
there's
first
no way
they
got
in from
the
windows
them.
From the side, but then the red dot comes, and it's like, wait, that looks like it's from behind them. Mm. Where does that from?
You can't get headshots in between their eyebrows if you're on the sides of the windows, unless they got the guys from Wanted to be the fucking assassins.
They curved the bullet, man.
That's the only way that works.
Hey, luckily, we brought Deadshot with us.
Dude, that would have been
shit.
Better if they
Why
introduced
Why did they all put Deadshot
we
in
just
the fucking
We couldn't afford Will Smith, though. He had to stay off screen.
We just hear that, oh, heck no, in the background.
Like, oh, hell, yeah, I got you Willis style.
But, yeah.
Would it be the dumbest thing the show ever did? So.
Nope. Because they bring him back to the precinct, and, you know, Gordon interrogates him, and then, okay, I couldn't really follow. Why did he let him go again?
Okay, so, because of the whole Penguin, the dynamic between Penguin and Gordon is, I'll help you if you let me fucking go.
The only other increasing sexual tension between Penguin is, other than Riddler, is with him and Gordon.
This weird triangle.
Yeah, it's just so like, oh, Jim, and it's like, of course I'll tell you without the meathead around, and then it's like, ah, yes, alone again.
I got a question for anybody in the audience that's a police officer. Are there really two doors to in and out of an interrogation room?
I would think not.
Most cop procedurals will tell you no.
I mean, they always show the same room, and it's always a two-way mirror, and it has one door in with just a table in it.
Yeah.
Like... So the
Except
fact that
this one
has two doors is kind of weird.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense at all, honestly.
Well, we have a nice ventilation system for this interrogation room, mm-hmm. and it's the size of a person. Well, in a case of emergency, we want someone to be able to get out,
That's
right?
That's fair.
And both doors are blocked.
Plus,
yeah.
We need someone to be able to get in there to repair it, obviously.
It's not like we would, like, handcuff him to the table.
And also, it's not shatterproof glass. What if we need to break that shit?
It's not like people consistently break in here and kill our witnesses.
That'd be
silly. So yeah, Penguin escapes because Gordon lets him get a chance to do something. I don't know. Just
he gives the information on Strange to Gordon as well.
Okay, right.
So
right,
it's like,
right.
He's like, okay, yeah, I paid Strange to patch up Riddler. He must have done something to Riddler because that's killing that many people is not Riddler's MO. Like,
but it's not
sure,
with a puzzle involved first.
Sure, the random murder here or there, but like the senseless murder with just an RPG shot
with
isn't
children
really Riddler
too.
Style.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no real, yeah, there's no puzzle, it's too many deaths. Like, he's killed a bunch of people before, but he usually has some weird, stupid puzzle, not I'm just gonna randomly blow up a building.
Which I love Riddler even admitting that, just like, okay, now, I know what this looks like, and I know I've hurt people before, but bear with me here, you know?
The motive and the modus operandi are not matching up with the classic Nigma.
Yeah, so,
I'm not a killer, except for all those people I killed, but not those people.
Wait, these people didn't hurt me
But
yet.
Those people did stuff to me first, Jim.
I mean, again, like with Penguin, he kind of has a point.
Yeah, true. But then, he escapes, and then we see Riddler meets up with Barbara for reasons to be able to get her to help him get to Strange. And then he arrives a little bit earlier to Strange's place, which was totally awesome, because they have a total Dark Knight moment where he comes in a body bag, which I'm just
that
like,
was awesome. Yeah, I love that shit.
That was cool.
That was great.
That was
great. And I love even Doctor Strange is back, and he just says, oh my.
He's like, whatever.
Channeling
his George Takei.
Were you just leaning into the fact that people were making fun of your voice before, that you sounded like Sulu?
Oh, it was great. I love Riddler telling the other guys, just leave, you know, kind of thing. Yeah, so he interrogates him, and he's like, I'll tell you who paid me to do this, but give me a moment to write it down so I can have plausible deniability. And the first thing he does is turn around and spray him with some magic gas that apparently causes all of his muscles to go limp, but he's not...
Look, this guy brings people back from the dead. Don't think about it.
He's got everything.
It freezes his neurological motor functions, but leaves the pain receptors completely online.
For some fucking reason.
Sure.
But then I'm going to do brain surgery, which, guess what? You wouldn't feel it anyway. I fuck it.
Which, man, when they pulled up the camera and you see Edward's exposed brain while he's working on him, I'm just like, ugh. Mm-hmm.
I was like, ha ha ha, wow, this is not how brain surgery works, you crazy people.
I did like how it was like, yeah, I'm basically, yeah, so Riddler, I'm going to do to you, like, with this brain, you know, you've seen the end of Hannibal with Ray Liotta? Like, I'm doing that to you.
Yeah, because apparently Strange was paid by another party to put a microchip in Riddler's brain, which apparently mm-hmm. will make him remote controlled. Which,
yep.
It's unclear to, because basically remote control, that's where the big, plot twist of the fucking episode happens, of we figure out who's actually responsible for all this stupid bullshit. It's, guess what, the people that were trying to help out, and, you know, Gordon fucking called BFF. It.
Oh, yeah, no, it was totally obvious.
I thought that character was not going to make it the episode. I figured he was going to get killed as well.
Oh, no, because the reveal is, especially with the conjunction with the teaser for next episode, Eduardo is Bane.
Aw, don't tell me that.
You didn't get that by now?
No, because that was like, this isn't Bane at all. There's nothing about this character that's Bane. He's like, this white guy's not Bane.
Well, I mean, Tom Hardy was Bane, so whatever.
Well, yeah, at least he doesn't have a posh British accent.
I don't
know. Yeah, but that was so over the top, but like, no, I'm sorry, this is some stupid bullshit. I was like, fuck this show sometimes, man.
But no,
I was wondering Bane. What would break Come first. On. Your suspension of disbelief or your body?
Well, because...
Why is he friends with Gordon? What is it, the stupid universe, or everyone's fucking connected by some stupid bullshit?
I don't know why, but that's the thing where apparently Gordon arrives this right at the same time with Shane West's character as well, and they're about to take in Dr. Hugo Strange.
Dr. Strange, you're not wrong!
No, it's not wrong, it's just weird saying he's also Dr. Strange. But then they realize that Eduardo has the remote and deactivates Riddler for a moment, pretty much. And then, after Gordon escaped with his one-punch man technique, just escaping again, he sends Edward to go after him. So I've affectionately called him the Terminigma now. That's pretty much what he is.
Awesome. Yeah, that's pretty much the next episode. It's like, it's funny, because like, we don't know to what degree... He's still the Riddler. We know that he's capable, but it's like, we know this is like, we don't know how much intelligence he has. So is this going to be like John Wick against Joe Gordon, or is it just going to be he's just a normal goon? Because we know Gordon's not going to get killed, because that's not how this world works.
Well, because we also know the flashback sequence that started the season. So
yeah, so we know this. We know a status quo has to happen, but I'm just like, I'm curious what they're going to do with this, because this could be really cool, having the smartest person in the world trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Well, also, yeah, it would. It's he's smart, he's using all his faculties, and he doesn't have the hindrance of his craziness or him having to prove how smart he is or doing the puzzles.
Yeah, it's Riddler without the ego.
He's tried killing Gordon before.
Yeah. It's like Riddler, but like, oh, actually the thing that makes him really not effective is not harming him anymore, which is his own ego.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
So yeah, I cannot wait to see where that goes, because I'm just like, this. Just when I thought this episode couldn't get any zanier and weirder than it was, then they turn him into a Terminator to chase after Gordon, so that's going to be fun.
Which starts going down a fucking body chute.
So that's the gist of this episode. I mean, again, it's weird where I'm starting to get really more invested in the plot, for as much as like, yeah, we can pretty much just cut out Bruce and Selina at this point, because unless they actually get involved with the main story, I'm just really not interested right now, you know?
Well, hopefully the Jeremiah stuff will come in and we get to see them, like, really directly conflict with that more. So, Jim and them are dealing with the Bane stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just going to be another random, like, here's the second plot to the next episode. He's going to deal with that stupid bullshit. And then for some reason, Bruce Wayne's going to be needed in the main plot. Like, I think they're really going to spend either the next episode or at some point they're just going to clean up the Jeremiah stuff to get Bruce back.
Well, I mean, they showed in the preview that he's fighting the army guys as well with Gordon. So I'm assuming they're going to intercept at least somewhat for the next episode. So
maybe.
Yeah. Mm. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, again, trying to make these episodes a little quicker than usual because I started to feel very self-conscious after I shared that thing that you posted, Nick, with the podcast episodes.
Oh, yeah. There was that whole thing. I don't think I showed Travis yet there was a meme going around, a bunch of people sharing like this podcast comic.
Oh, I saw that.
The different genres of podcasts, and there were six of them, and like they're all like snarky little things like 30 comedians yelling over him on mic at once, and I was like, of course you laugh at all of them, but then number four was like nerds talking about a TV show and somehow in an episode that's somehow longer than the episode, and I was like, hey,
that hit you. Every one of us, from the midnight chat attack to y'all apparently to the other extra shit.
It's one
we've
of those
been
things
doing
where you feel personally attacked, but yet the thing rings is kind of so true. Like, there's nothing technically wrong with the statement, but yet it's how it's said. Like, go fuck yourself.
Fuck you.
You just respond like childishly because you have like no response to it.
Yep. So,
also, I wanted to talk about the. Is it weird that we just kind of pretend that the whole Barbara and Jim hooking up thing didn't happen?
Yeah, that was weird. Nothing came out of that. That was so odd.
It's like, Gotham. We're going to pretend it never happened.
It's not that they play it off or like they play it low key or anything. It feels like that didn't happen last episode. Like, no one talks about it. No one even like has a furtive glance, or Jim doesn't even like look slightly guilty at one point of just like, okay.
I mean, he was knocking back whiskey when that happened. He probably just had a drunken stupor about it.
His buddy showed up and he didn't care.
I'm starting to get worried because if they treat it like a one night stand and that it doesn't revolve in a relationship, you know what's going to happen, right?
Pregnant?
Yes. That is exactly one of. If they don't treat it like a big storyline, it's just going to come about later like, oh yeah, I'm pregnant now.
How?
And then that's how you get a kid named after their dead mom.
How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
And then him and Lee will be raising Barbara together.
Ooh,
that's what the show. The sequel series, Raising Barbara. I would watch that.
Hear what I said. Does it feel wrong in your heart?
Oh, it feels like, very wrong.
It feels like it's not happening.
That is a route this could go.
Gotham. I can't overemphasize that they spent the first half of season 2 just bringing people back like it was a revolving door from hell. Like, this show can do whatever the fuck it wants, and I'll be like, yeah, sure.
Well, that's all that we got to say about this episode, coming in right under, around 40 minutes kind of thing. But, yeah, very quickly, Nick and Travis, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me talking too long about TV shows on certain episodes of the UGO podcast on Unapologetic Geek Out on iTunes and Stitcher. You can also follow us on our Netflix and Kill show, where we review killer movies on Netflix.
Also too long.
Also way too long. We're not very concise, but at all.
Yeah, I think our review of The Predator was actually as long as the movie itself. So.
That movie's 2 hours. What were y'all talking about?
How bad it was.
Yeah, the problem with that movie is that actually it's cut down to like an hour 40. But we're not talking about that. Where I do talk about things that are definitely longer, I talk for an hour about a 20-minute show of Stand Against Evil per episode for Pod Against Evil. So if you want to check that out, it's all canceled now, and it's about to go up all up on YouTube. On Hulu, I should say.
Hmm.
So it's not like it's a big commitment or anything. And just follow.
Not that we're bitter. We're not bitter.
Not that I'm bitter about it or anything. It's just John C. McGinley's finest acting job since Scrubs and Janet Varney's unsung hero show.
Also, but, my phone's a bitch because it keeps going, Evil 1 stands 0. I'm like, fuck you, phone. Fuck you. My news article seriously
and
do
also
that.
The brand new discovery of comedic genius Deborah Baker Jr., but whatever.
But whatever.
It's not like I will be resentful about it in any way.
Let it go.
You can hear me Before I Am Bitter on those episodes on iTunes and Stitcher as well. Follow us, social media, Twitter, that sort of thing. Nick Tice, T-H-Y-E-S, Facebook. Yes. Travis, where can they find you?
They
Nowhere.
Can't.
Nowhere. They can't find Travis. I won't let them. I won't let them find you. You're safe here.
I'm trapped. Please save me.
Give them Travis. He's the one they want.
I'm already gone.
And then, Alan, where can they find you?
Well, you can find me if you go to Facebook and type in Midnight Chat Tech, one word. Once you see the orange or blue logo, depending on what we change it to this week, you will be able to find embedded links to all sorts of places where you find me belligerently rambling about some other bullshit. If you go to Twitch and write in The Chat Attack, that's where you'll find the main site, that the main page where we talk about all sorts of either unrelated or completely related to Gotham topics.
Awesomeness. And then, yeah, you can find me here. You can find me on Eye on the Prize. We actually have a special episode coming up with all the Oscar-nominated music that was out this year. So that's going to be cool. And we got the guy who composed all the music for my Eye on the Prize and Screener Squad themes, who's going to be on it. So that's going to be cool. We'll have an actual musician to talk to.
Nice.
And then, yeah, you can find us there in the Breakfast Pub and, yeah, in general. So thank you all very much once again for co-hosting with me. And next week's episode will be called, I think, like 13 Stitches, I think it was called.
13 Stitches Why?
No, that's unlucky. I would have put an extra stitch in there just to be safe.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is the episode or not, because I don't know which episode count it is. But apparently one of these episodes actually directed by the actress who plays Barbara. So I'm going to be very curious to see how that turns out. Yeah, but okay. So
I was figuring maybe it's this one where it's like, I don't feel like working today, I'm gonna write myself out.
No, not quite, but all right, well, thank you all for listening and tune in next week. See ya.